Anyway, okay, let's start this puppy. We're broadcasting anyway, but we'll start officially start the show. Okay, quiet on the set. Quiet on the set, god damn it! Alright. Welcome, everybody.
You paused so long, it was like...
Oh, I was trying to get complete silence. So it's easy to edit.
It's like herding cats, isn't it, Barry?
Almost live from across the USA, this is Late Night. Your hosts tonight are Joel, Barry, Barty, and Michael, the Virtual Yooper. Tonight, the Late Night QRM Roundtable is on! New iPhones will be announced on September 9th, and Michael bikes a mountain. All that and more on Late Night QRM! And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in southwest New Hampshire. Here's Joel, Barry, Barty, and Michael! Welcome, everybody, to Late Night QRM show number 150. Yay! 150. From the Monadnock region of the southwest corner, or in the southwest corner of New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
And from the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Joel.
And from the Tug Hill region of central New York, this is Barty.
And from the Man Cave in the suburbs of Upper Harbor, I am the either annoyed or angry Yooper. Now, no, the future virtual Yooper, that's what I'm supposed to be, all right.
Yeah, you're totally virtual.
And we're doing a little sidelining here. I'm not sure whether it's the... bandwidth or not, but
we'll, I killed video for it.
Okay, yeah, you were sidelining, but you're on your phone still, right?
Yeah, I'm going to make my way over to the Mac Mini.
Okay, so this great hangout on the air may be an audio-only hangout, just to warn, well, there's nobody listening but us, so it doesn't matter.
Is there anybody ever listening but us?
Yeah, it doesn't
matter. Yes, there are, at least one or two.
Yeah, that's true.
Matter of fact, one of our... our biggest fans now. I think he's starting to beat the .3 girls. MMD. He was bugging me about when the next episode's going to be.
As
I was
like, right.
I was sorry. I was.
Man, don't forget Jason too. Jason's out there every episode.
I was busy. I was busy this week, so I didn't get it done until this morning.
Yeah. The nerve of you having a friggin' job. Cut it out.
Yeah, I know. Jeez, you know, I tried to do it at work, but yeah, they don't let me, and they block everything, you know. Jeez.
Yeah, it's hard to do process a podcast in a classified area.
Yeah, I'm one of the few lucky people. I have a internet connection in the classified area.
Ooh.
So, anyway, anyway, so it was a beautiful week here, once again in New Hampshire, very fall-like temperatures. And matter of fact, before I came up here, I closed all the frickin' windows in the house because it's getting downright chilly out there. It's 61 degrees and dropping right now.
Huh. Cool.
Yeah, really, literally.
Ha ha, good play.
So... and for all our listeners out there, all 6.9 of you,
we've doubled.
we do have a new Google Plus community called Late Night QRM. So, and it's much better than the comment section that WordPress gives you. So. If you'd like to do a little more sharing and actually have us see your comments, and we'll actually even get notified when you place a comment, because right now I'm the only person that gets notified on WordPress. Why don't you come and join our community? Actually, I'm a big fan of Google+, because I like it better. I like it better than Twitter. I like it better than Facebook, because I think it takes the best of those two things, and there's a lot bad with those two things, too. But it has the best of those two things and lets you shape exactly what you want. And so we have this open community for now, and we'll see whether we keep it open or invite only. We'll see. Our first out of podcaster member was Michael noticed this right away, was an Arab auction site.
Oh, perfect.
So, and needless to say, he's no longer a member. So,
oh, man, I was looking for discounts on camels and rugs.
But come join us. All you need is a Google or a Gmail account, I guess, and you can get a Google+ account, and then you can come join us. Now, the thing is we're experimenting now with the Hangouts on the Air, which is a live version of this, and right now I've got it pretty private because this is the first time we've tried it, and I want to see how well it works. Also acts as a backup for us, backup recording, in case Windows bites the dust, which it's done several times in the past.
No!
But this will allow us to have guests come on. So, you know, if you want to join us on the show, be part of the recorded one and the live one, join our community and come join us on Saturday nights. So that's that. And by the way, people out there, podcasters, you guys, feel free to invite other people to join Late Night QRM. Now, I have to tell you,
that's
you've all
right, heard...
What's that, buddy?
Saturday night is okay for podcasting.
What's that?
Paraphrasing Elton John, Saturday night is okay for podcasting.
Yeah. So you've heard us talk before. We have another community. It's the it's our private community that we share stuff in preparation for the show.
And, the back channel.
The back channel, as we say, and that one is private, invite only. So we probably won't have listeners as part of that. And the secondary reason for that is so that we can mock and riddle mock and make fun of you, the listeners, behind your backs without you knowing it. So,
well, and each other as well.
But we'll probably start doing that on Late Night QRM community also. So. So that's the news on the podcast front, and it's much better. And by the way, I post every new event. I post every podcast, a link to the podcast in the community. And if you're a member of the community and you have notifications on, that means you will be notified when the next edition or episode comes out. And as you can tell this week, because last week's episode came out today, because I was very busy this week.
Uh-huh.
And but it's out. It's up. Enjoy. And what was I busy doing? Well, as I said last week, it's in the past tense now. I ran two 5Ks this week.
Woo-hoo!
One at
it was
the Monadnock half marathon /5K. That was last Sunday, and I didn't do too awful, but they had one long steep hill at about the third kilometer in. And let's say I made it about 3/4 of the way up that hill, and then I started walking to the top. Then I started running again for the rest of it. But that was a hell of a tough hill. And then this past Thursday, our company was sponsoring one of the sponsors of the Cigna Elliott 5K in Manchester, New Hampshire. along with WMUR, our local TV station, or New Hampshire's TV station. And,
the only one.
Yeah. And let's see, who else is on my shirt here? 96.5, The Mill. They were a radio station. They were also a sponsor. And we all got our T-shirts, and the starting time was right as sports was coming on Channel 9 News at 6. And so they showed it live. I don't know. I don't think I was on there. I couldn't find. I saw the TV truck. I didn't see any cameras anywhere. So, but they tell me that it was on television. But that one was an easy run. It wasn't too bad. It was like all downhill. It was either flat or all downhill until the very end. Because, you know, we're running in a circle, or kind of a circle. And so if you're going flat or downhill for almost nine-tenths of it, then the last tenth was all uphill. So it was an interesting hill, but it still wasn't as bad as the one in the Monadnock. I was actually able to power up that hill and actually pick up my pace over across the finish line. So that was cool. And I did my best time.
Awesome.
On that
one. Go Barry.
Yep. So it was fun. And so now I've got one virtual 5K to run sometime before the end of the month. And for the Arizona Cactus run.
Yep.
And then I'm out of 5Ks. I'm going to have to sign up for some more. So we'll see. I'll see what I can pick up. So anyway, so that's what I was doing this week.
Right.
Also, yesterday my wife and I went down to the Fisherman's Sorry. Feast, which is a religious. I forget what saint it's for, but it's some saint something Fisherman's Feast. Whoever the patron saint of fishermen is, down, and it's held every year in the north end of Boston. So we took off. Unfortunately, we took off about. I wanted to go earlier, but you know, delay. You know what that is, sitting and waiting. But we finally took off about 2:30, which got us down at 4:95 and that stuff about. At the same time, everybody and their uncle left work early to go either up to New England, through, you know, to New Hampshire and Maine, or down to the Cape. So, yeah, we hit
nice
tons and tons of traffic.
And yeah, I remember that when I used to do that commute daily.
Yeah,
every Friday, you know, I always tried to get to work early in the morning so I could leave early, because if you hit any northbound route after 3:30, 4 o'clock, you weren't going anywhere.
Yeah, well, it doesn't lately, or at least yesterday, it seems like it doesn't matter which way you're going on the Beltway, because you know, one way you're going up to, you know, the White Mountains and the shore places of New Hampshire and Maine, and the other way you're going down to the Cape. So it was wall-to-wall traffic both directions on 495, and so then I cut down 3. That was a smart idea, because it was only clogged going northbound on 3. But then I got on 95, and it was the same as 495. That's just the inner circle around Boston. And the same thing happened there. So then we let Google Maps. They suggested, because of all the traffic on there, they suggested us to take an exit. So I said, what the hell? Let's be daring. So we ended up going through Woburn and down into what else was there? Winchester.
Oh, that's north of Boston.
Yeah, but so we just went down that way through the back roads, and it got us to the north end okay, with little problems. And then we had to pay a whopping $28 to park, because this Fisherman's Feast is known as an event. So all the parking garages and the parking lots have event parking down there now, which is a straight fee that you pay up front, no matter how long you're going
to
be there.
You know one way to get around that, Barry?
What's that?
Is drive down to Lowell and take the train down to Boston, down to North State.
That was that. We may have to look into that because yeah.
That's what we used to always do. We used to just drive down to Lowell, take the train down the North Station, and then take the T anywhere we wanted to go around town. And you can get like a pass that would just, you know, let you ride all over town all day long.
Yeah.
You know. And that makes it really convenient.
We're gonna have to do that, I think, next time because that was kind of ridiculous. But I had no choice. I had already circled around the North End a couple of times, and you know, the only other thing to do would be to go down to the financial district and park in one of those garages. I'm sure they didn't have event parking. But then we'd have to walk up them, and Anne Marie was having problems with her legs, so we didn't want her. You know, walking all over, taking a hike at least, you know. We were trying to save the walking for the festival or feast, whatever it's called. So, but it was good. And we ate at an Italian restaurant down there. And I forget the name of it. But good. I had a lobster linguine and with white sauce. And I thought it would just be chunks of lobster in it, you know. But man, there was like three whole meaty sections of lobster in there. Of course, for the price of it, yeah, I can imagine.
Well, actually, though, the way the harvest has been going in Maine this year, the price of lobster has actually dropped.
It was probably cheaper than it usually is, but it was still not an inexpensive dinner, let's put it that way.
But, you know, for the price of Maine lobster you pay everywhere else, the price has not dropped at all anywhere else except around the Maine coast. Because there's like just so much there, and everybody knows what's going on with the lobster harvest, because they've been doing such great conservation efforts to try to increase the lobster population that it's really worked.
Wow!
And now they have a glut of lobster, so the price has dropped. But outside of the East Coast, you're not seeing that drop in cost.
Hmm.
And, you know, I mean, everybody else is absorbing that as a extra profit.
Okay, we're sidelining a little bit, so I killed my camera too. And Joel's back on his
on the Mac Mini.
On the Mac Mini now. I killed my video because Barty was sidelining a little bit, but he was understandable.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, gotcha. Not your problem. I think the price difference hits Boston also because, like I said, it wasn't bad. I would have, with the amount of lobster I got in that meal, I would have expected probably pay double what I did. But it was still probably the most expensive thing on the menu that night. And it was a special, so they didn't list the price of it, and I didn't ask. I just said, ooh, I like that. I'm going to get that. I don't care.
$70 later.
So, yeah, for the two of us, it was more than that.
No, I meant your plate.
Oh, my plate, yeah.
Joel, you're cool.
I don't know. Yeah, I should go look at what it was. I think it was like, I don't know. I think my plate was like 36 bucks.
You got
a
word, Joel.
No, I was thinking. $40 I think it was like bucks. 36 bucks or something like that for my plate. So... Which, like I said, isn't bad for lobster. Any place else, you'd probably pay a lot more. So, and then the only other thing that's on the... I have a four-day weekend this weekend, only because on Thursday, while I was at work, my wife called me up and she goes... well, first of all, the story starts off as a couple weeks ago on Epics. We were watching a concert by the Beach Men, because they're not really boys anymore. And grooving to it there, you know, and then we said, boy, I'd like to see them in concert again. She goes, I think they're going to be in Maine. So she said, okay, well, you have to check. Maybe we can make a trip and go see them in Maine. So she, on Thursday, she decided to check it. I guess, you know, she remembered that she wanted to do that. And so she checked, and I get this phone call. She goes, they're at Tanglewood on Monday, and there's still tickets. And I said, okay, if you can get them, I'll take a day off. So she called me back. She goes, we got them. And I said, okay. So I'm taking Monday off. We're going to go down there in the afternoon, early afternoon, and have dinner and then go see the Beach Men at Tanglewood. And
cool.
The last time I saw them was probably the early 80s, because they used to do the 4th of July celebration in D.C. on the Mall. And I remember seeing them then, and I think I also saw them in the 70s when I was in high school or college. No, I was in college and saw them. So it should be fun. I don't know. I've always liked the Beach Boy music, so as long as they play all their hits, that's all that counts.
Well, I'm more of a rock and roller. I'd rather listen to the Rolling Stones than the Beach Boys.
Yep. To each its own. And,
exactly.
But the Rolling Stones don't go to Tanglewood, so.
So. They're a little bit, I don't know, maybe a little bit bigger than that.
Who? Oh, the Rolling Stones?
The Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. They were at least still going.
Yeah, what was it, their Silver Wheelchair tour that they started?
Yeah, really? Yeah.
Well, the Beach Boys and them are about the same age, I think, aren't they? They were both out there at about the same time.
Pretty darn close.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to say. I think that the Beatles and the Stones kind of hit a little bit before the Beach Boys did. So who knows?
I don't know. I just remember they were both out in the kind of early 60s.
All I know is the Bee Gees are the best.
Bee Gees. Bee Gees.
There's only one left.
Rather than the Beach Boys and the Bee Gees. Disco sucks.
there's only one left, I think. There's just a
Bee Gees. Yeah, the only one left, yeah.
There's just a Bee Gees.
So now it's the BG. Yeah.
I think it's
no S anymore.
I think it's Barry, too, isn't it? Barry Gibb? He's the only one left?
So, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I just
said it to get a rise out of Artie.
It worked, Joe. I kind of figured that's what you were doing, so I went along with it.
I know.
Yeah, well. Pretty soon, I think the Archies are going to be touring.
And you're right, it is Barry.
Yeah, they're right there below the monkeys, you know.
There's only a couple left that monkeys left, too, come to think of it. Oh, well.
Manufactured band, gotta love it.
Yeah, really. Anyway, and speaking of people who passed away this week... Yeah,
we're talking about new iPhones? Yeah, they passed away.
No, I'm adding something. And of course, Robin Williams, they found him on, was it Monday or Sunday? Monday, wasn't it? Sunday?
Yeah.
Sunday. Monday. Well, okay, whatever.
Sunday.
Yeah, and...
I was still in Seattle when that happened.
Yeah, apparently he hung himself, which... I have mixed feelings about that, because he was such a fantastic entertainer. But you could always tell, even when he entertained, that he was in some form of pain. Just the way he acted, that was like, you know, just a cover for the pain he was doing. And I don't know, I was talking to my wife, actually, I think I talked to you guys. Sometimes I think his brain just worked too fast for this planet. You know, it must have been.
Well, people had in interviews had suggested that to him, that most average people had a hard time keeping up with him because, you know, the average brain couldn't keep up with as fast as Steve was going. Uh-huh. When I was in Seattle, it was really kind of interesting because there was a very, very small local food closet that he had visited at one of his visits to Chicago. He was there doing his stand-up, and somehow, maybe in his hotel room, and heard about this small food closet. He went there and bailed him out financially. Yeah. And he continued to do that for a while, and the local news station was talking to a guy there that was considering suicide, and Robin talked him out of it. The guy was suffering from severe depression, which... With the whole irony of it, it's just kind of like, kind of blows you away, because here was this guy that was doing good work, this, local guy was working at a food kitchen, you know, trying to pass out food to a food pantry, rather, you know, trying to pass out food to low-income people in the community and things. And he wasn't feeling very good about himself and didn't think his life was really worth it. And he said Robin sat down and talked to him for like 2-3 hours, and he felt better about his life after that, and that was why he was able to keep going. You know, and then, you know, that was like a few years ago.
Right.
And then now we come up, you know, a few years later, and it's Robin that is taking his life away.
Well, another thing that came out at the end of the week, which kind of, I don't know whether it helped me or made me change my mind or what, but they said it was announced that he had just been diagnosed with the early part of
Parkinson's
disease. And I was thinking, well, a guy like him, I don't think he could handle Parkinson's. You know, maybe that's what was the final straw.
He was, you know, so mobile. Mm-hmm. During his act, you know, the way he used to carry himself, and he, a lot of his humor was done physically, you know, and if he could no longer control his physical actions, he would lose a lot of what he was doing comically, you know.
Yeah.
I can see where he would like have a feeling about that. But you know, when you mentioned that, there was also reports that some of the medications they put you on to combat Parkinson's also tends to lead towards depression. So if you put somebody that's already predisposed to depression anyway,
yeah,
you put them on this to fight the Parkinson's, how is that going to save the guy from any kind of, you know, even deeper depression?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So... yes,
but either way, we lost an extremely talented genius of a comic. And he was not just a comic, but he was an awesome dramatic actor.
Yeah.
You know, he carried out some really incredible roles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a loss. I mean, it's a big loss. And he still had more. I even enjoyed, even though the show failed, last year he had the TV show, The Crazy Ones, which is kind of an ensemble thing. Kind of a comedy, but it's one of those comedies that they didn't have a laugh track, so it but I thought it was a good show. Apparently the rest of America didn't think so, CBS didn't.
Tony and I liked that show as well. We pretty much watched it regularly and liked it, and one of the things that I kind of appreciated most about it was the fact that it did not have...
Yeah. Uh-oh. Are you there, Barty? You were silencing and you...
Not anymore.
Okay.
Just because, right, you know, it's so fake.
Yeah. You're breaking up a little bit, Barty, just to let you know.
All right.
Breaking up's the hardest thing to do.
I'll try to take one through the mic. What was that, Joe? I missed it.
I said, breaking up is the hardest thing to do.
Yeah, really.
So, on to tech news now. I forgot to add that into the show notes about Robin Williams. So, it was announced that there's an announcement coming from Apple on September 9th. I love the announcement of the announcement.
I was just laughing about that myself.
I always do that, but September 9th is supposed to be the day that they're going to announce potentially three iPhone 6s. Now, you can figure out what that means. I guess the three different sizes.
The iPhone 6 cheap, the iPhone 6 middle of the road, and the iPhone 6 expensive.
Well, I'd probably say two expensive, one in the middle, and the 5S will be the cheap.
Yeah, they're not going to get rid of the 5S. They already said that. So I have a feeling that the three types are going to be small, medium, and large.
That's actually a good point.
That's what I think it's going to be. Because supposedly, and I somewhere I missed this, because right now they have the size that the iPhone 5 is and 5S is. That's going to be small. Then they've got another one that's a mid-size, like an iPhone... I don't know. I thought this was the 4.7, but then there's a middle size one they were talking about. And then they were finally talking about a 5.5 inch iPhone, which would fall into the category I would think of as a phablet.
Well, I tell you what, traveling recently back and forth to Seattle and observing people that have Samsung phones that are rather large, I was feeling kind of jealous because there are times when, you know, you want to pull out your iPad and do things, but there are other times you want to be a little bit less discreet and have something that fits in one hand. Mm-hmm. You know, because basically an iPad in a case, you know, you almost have to, you know, do that with two hands.
Right.
And the iPhone, that 4S that I have, the screen is too freaking small for my old eyeballs to see shit. So, you know, something a bit bigger, something between that iPhone and the iPad would be kind of ideal for me. You know, because I could still see the screen, you know, without having to squint at it and get headaches staring at it. And, you know, and when I was looking at some of these phones that people had, I was thinking, you know, I might think about one of those. Because I'm up for renewal on my contract with my company phone. And I tried to get a 5S, and they said, we've changed the policy. You just can't spend $200 on a phone now. You have to get a phone that's $100 or less. So, you know, really? I wasn't going to get a 5C, so I told them, yeah, just cancel the order. I forgot to wait till September when the 5S becomes the cheap phone, and I'll get that. Huh. But I don't know. I might take a look and see what they have for large screen Samsung phones. Because I don't really use my company phone as a typical Apple device, because I can sync it to my computer, but I don't put all my personal stuff on it per se. I try to keep mostly company stuff on it. So the fact that I can't put my iTunes library on it to any extent isn't really going to be much of a problem. Although I've got about a third of my iTunes library up to Google's cloud now. You know, you can put your whole iTunes library up there for free, no matter how big it is, if you have a Google device, which is kind of funny. But anyway, to get a bigger screen, I would love that. I mean, small sucks as far as I'm concerned at my age. I need something big. Size matters.
I agree with you, and I'm going to wait until they actually have. I need to have a full size template to see how big the 5.5 iPhone 6 will be. If I will probably get that one, unless they make it like $300 more, and then forget it. I'll settle for the smaller one. But I could get away with the larger one because it would look like, in my hand, it would look like a normal iPhone does in other people's hands. So I think I can get away with it, and I probably have big enough pockets to put it in too. So, but we'll see. September 9th is the big day, the big announcement, and they claim that means that the phones will probably become available on what's the date? September 19th.
Cool. 10 days later. That makes sense. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Michael?
Michael.
Michael?
Yes.
Where is the closest Apple store?
Yes. He's like, what the hell you want?
Where's the closest Apple store, Michael?
Probably Minneapolis.
We may be late. Just saying.
Yeah, I got it.
Oh man. Okay. And
there's gotta be one in Lower Michigan somewhere.
Lower Michigan, like Detroit.
Yeah, I don't think I'm doing that.
Maybe there's one in Hamilton.
Then I'd have to pay Canadian money for it. And then I'd probably have to pay some kind of stupid tariff as I cross the border three times or two times.
No. You put it in your pocket, and you at the border, you say you have nothing to declare.
That's true.
They ain't going to search you.
That's true.
Spent my whole life crossing that border. Half my family's on the other side of that line. My mom was a Canadian all her life, living here on a green card.
Yeah.
My whole family is all Canadian Americans. We all came out of Canada, lived here for a while, and most of them went back. And hell, the way things are going, I'm considering it. At least you can watch hockey every night up there. God damn. It's hard to watch hockey at all down here.
All right. Yeah, I thought I had something else up in here, but it seems to have disappeared.
As long as it's not the Toronto Maple Leafs, we want to see the Canadiens.
You know, the only thing with me is I like watching hockey, but I like watching it live. I'm not a big TV fan of it. I just think it's a really great game when you're there live watching it. It loses a little bit of something.
Any way you can get it.
Not to me, it loses something.
But, you know,
TV.
I grew up playing it as a kid, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, hockey was big in Philadelphia. They had the Flyers. And
yeah, the Broad Street Bullies.
Yeah.
They were awesome.
Yeah. Especially back
Dave
in the
Phil. Damn.
Yep. And so it was big in Philadelphia, but... I don't know. I like going down and watching the Flyers in person down at the Spectrum and watching them on TV. I mean, I'd watch, especially if they're in the, you know, the playoffs and stuff like that. I'd watch the playoff games and stuff like that. But other than that, yeah, I'd rather go down and see them live, which we could do.
I watch hockey anytime I can see it. Although, I do have to say that I am kind of surprised that hockey teams can survive in places where water does not freeze outside on its own. You know, like,
point.
No, yeah. That way. No. I mean, do they kind of, I mean, to them, ice is what you throw into your mixed drinks, you know?
Yeah, what's the one in Florida?
Well, there's the Panthers, yeah, that down there in Florida.
Yeah,
they had a good team for like 2 years.
Hmm. Yeah, you're right. That's funny. Playing hockey and warm.
Wow, think about Dallas.
Oh, Dallas, yeah.
Hey, Dallas.
What's that?
Now, they had a consistently good team for a long time. Till Mike Modano left, and then they just kind of like sucked and became solidly average for a while.
Mm. Although that team did come down from Minneapolis, so.
Yes, it did. That's true. They were the North Stars.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay.
Yeah, they used to be the Minnesota North Stars.
And wasn't there a Canadian team that came down also?
Oh, there were a lot of them.
Was it like the...
Calgary Flames came down to Atlanta and embarrassed themselves and went back.
The Whalers, did they come down?
No, the Whalers came from Hartford and disappeared. They just went away.
Oh, okay.
Which is too bad, because they were really a pretty good team. They just... You know, with being so close to Boston and in the middle between Boston and New York, it was really kind of hard to get any kind of attention at all.
Hmm.
You know?
Wow.
There were still a lot of diehard Whalers fans, though.
Yeah, speaking of teams that came down, I think it's funny that the Washington Nationals used to be the Montreal Expos.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of hard to get Canadians, especially in Quebec, to understand playing a game where, you know, the puck is flying in the air and you have to hit it. Because you get a penalty for hitting the puck in the air in the NHL. You know, so it's really hard for Canadians to understand that.
Well, they still got the Blue Jays, though.
Yeah. And every once in a while they get good.
Yeah.
You know, for a short time, and, you know, then they become a typical Canadian baseball team.
All right. Oh, I know what I was going to have on. I thought I had it on there, but I was saying, getting ready for the great Youper trip, the fall trip.
The Youper Roundtable. Yeah, you know, I was thinking about crashing your party, but it looks like I'm going to be, ironically, in Ottawa around that time.
You're kidding.
No, because I was joking my wife, you know, I was saying, you know, they never freaking invited me. And I was thinking, well, you know, I could just go. I mean, because you did say that any listener could show up, and I do listen to some of the shows.
You could come.
I'm not on.
We'd have to take two cars, though, because, you know. Three guys in a Prius ain't going to hack it.
I was not going to go in a Prius. No way in hell. You know, I was going to take the friggin' Jeep or nothing. Trust me. Yeah.
Anyway, Barty, you weren't on any of the episodes we were talking about it on.
What was that, Mike? I missed that.
I said, we weren't excluding you. You weren't on any of the episodes we were planning it on.
Yeah, I did miss a lot. I'm kind of like the occasional irritant that shows up.
Oh, you're going to give yourself a nickname. And Barney, the irritant.
The irritant, that's right, yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Next you're going to be saying he probably listens to Arlo Guthrie still. And yeah, I do.
I don't think he's hard rock, is he?
I don't want to.
No, but he is an irritant.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So, you know, if you can, we could always carpool, but, yeah, I don't think three of us are going to fit. I mean, hell, Joel's probably going to be laying down in the back seat and the front seat anyway.
I'm still thinking about, like, you know, like, you know, those Barnum and Bailey things, you know, where, like, you see these clowns piling out of a little tiny car. It's going to be like you and Joel piling out of this little tiny Prius.
Oh, yeah.
I still can't imagine what you look like fitting in that
Prius. We can't sit shoulder to shoulder in that car and not have the other shoulder.
Yeah, so I can see that you're going to remove the front seat and Joel's going to sit in the back.
We become good buddies when we drive in the Prius.
Excuse me, sir.
Hate each other. One or the other.
Excuse me, sir. Sir, did I understand here at the rental office you asked for a TARDIS?
There you go.
Yeah, I can just see it. It's like, I don't understand. I usually get 50 miles per the gallon. We're only getting 25.
Yeah, no shit, huh? Extra 350 pounds in the front alone. Got good snow traction, though. I'll tell you that. No more vroom, vroom, vroom. That sucker will dig right in through asphalt.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't mean it'll pull any further.
Oh, that'll be fun. It'll be fun. It's going to be a fun
downhill, it'll be great.
Yeah, brake fade.
Yeah, does that thing have rack and pinion steering, by the way, Barry?
I don't know.
Well, you might need to know that when you get to the bottom of a long hill.
it'll be fun. Hopefully there's not too much up and down. It looks like it's kind of level going across.
Oh, my God.
I was checking Google Maps. It looked level.
Yeah, even if it looks level on Google Maps, yeah. It all looks pretty level. Let me show you some DTIT data.
But I do. We do have to.
But it looked level on the maps.
No, I'm just saying I have to finalize our trip requirements this week because, as you know, I have to fill out paperwork.
Unless we don't go the north way, if we go the south way and up.
Yeah, that's like an extra 3 hours.
Yeah, but you still have to figure it out. Oh, well, that's right. Yeah, you wouldn't if you went the south way, but boy, that's a long, long ways. You'd be going past my house.
Would we?
Kind of. Somewhere. We'd have to be going through Syracuse, and that's about an hour south of me.
Okay. Yeah, I think we're...
I'll be in Canada, so, you know, don't bother stopping by.
Okay.
My wife will recognize your names, but she won't really know who the hell you are.
I was trying to find your town on Google Maps, and I couldn't find it.
That's because it was buried in snow. It's called Redfield.
Yeah, I couldn't find it. I'll have to try to do a search on it. I was just looking around the Syracuse area.
It even starts from my address, and it shows my house about 5 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's how long it's been since I took a picture.
But, if we are definitely taking the Canadian route, I have to fill out paperwork in my itinerary.
Well, since I'm going on business, the company will be taking care of the details for me, so I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, you're lucky, because when we go on foreign travel, I still have to fill out all that paperwork.
Really?
Yeah, it's for the company.
Yeah. You got lackeys in your support office.
What do you mean, lackeys? That's us. I am the lackey.
Oh, you're a lackey.
We don't have support center.
Whether it be to Germany or England or anywhere else I go, I simply tell our security person. Actually, I don't even have to tell her. She already knows. She gets notified that I'm traveling to this location at this time, and all the details are taken care of.
Hmm.
All the paperwork for my company laptop and cell phone that include the model and serial number and all that kind of good junk is already provided to me. I don't have to do squat.
Can we have your security people? We have to do all that ourselves.
Well, it's because they were smart. Really, they pulled it off on you.
Our security people go through the Nashua office to finalize it with the company.
Really?
Yeah, so you're getting screwed, Barry.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, well, it's a great place to work. The company that shall not be named.
Yeah. Well, I'm still pretty happy with my employment over here because things are going rather well, despite the fact that the contract is continually spiraling smaller and smaller and down and down. My talents are still in demand. So that's good for me. I was on the road out in Washington last week, and my boss was calling me. He was on the road, and he was asking me how to get things done. Wow. So I'm thinking, yeah, he's keeping me around for a while.
Yeah, that's always a good position to be in. Definitely.
Yeah.
So, Michael, speaking of the trip,
yes. A
note here, what kind of accommodations do the two of you want for the late night QRM podcaster roundtable? The best, only the best, but cheap.
Hook him in the local Japanese hotel with the porcelain hole in the floor. Oh no, never mind. Barry's seen those before.
Yeah, I know what those are.
Yeah, we can talk about this after the show, actually. Okay. But yeah, I need to get that nailed down this weekend too.
Okay. Yeah, it would be nice. Nice to know. Although I don't have to worry about that end of the trip, I don't think. But they'll probably want to know the whole agenda. So what's going on up at the mountain biking this week?
Well, as I said, I actually have not been running too much this last week. Almost a week and a half now, because I was on the road last week. But I have been doing a lot of mountain biking, although the giant Boulder, giant as bicycle manufacturer, Boulder as in the model, has taken to needing to be put back together again with a Wonder Bar and sledgehammer on a regular basis. Ouch. So it's getting a little more exciting than I want, but the bike was never meant to be driven it the way I'm riding it. I'm thinking of a little bigger person than it was made for, and it was not meant to go up and down Broccoli Mountain.
About that in the last podcast that shall not be named, that, you know, in the last mountain cast was pretty cool, and you had talked about having to repair, quote-unquote, your bike with a sledgehammer a few times.
Yep. Well, this last trip I took after that episode, I actually had to stop about every 1 to 2 miles to put the crank back together.
Ooh.
So it's getting a little nasty again, and maybe it's time to move up to Loctite Red or something and see if that'll hold it together.
Dang.
That'd be suck.
I know Joel understands the significance of that. Once you put it together with Loctite Red, theoretically you're supposed to use a 500 degree torch to get it back together, get it apart again.
Either that or snap the bolt.
Well, we don't want to snap it in the crank. That'd be bad.
Yeah.
I'm saying that Red will actually hold it. Well, a lot of times the bolt will let go before the Loctite will let loose on the threads.
Yeah. Right.
Wow.
Jeez. Well, the blue ain't cutting it. Let me put it that way.
So the last podcast that shall not be named, you were actually riding the bike, right? Because I missed the beginning of it a little bit.
That was awesome. I love that.
Well, no,
you
I
know
just
what missed... got me is you weren't hardly out of breath. And it's like, oh my God, if I was riding a bike like that, I'd be wheezing and stuff, you know? And you're just, well, you know, you were like steady. What the hell?
Well, I was getting the crap beat out of me, too, because there's only front shocks on it. There's no shock in the frame. Hmm. And I was going down the mountain. I had just climbed up Brockway. I didn't record while I was climbing up. That was an 8-kilometer climb up.
Wow.
And as I was regrouping to go down, though, I was jumping and taking hairpin turns and all kinds of stuff as I was recording. And all you can hear on the podcast is ee, 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 as the bike is creaking every time I hit the ground. But
well, I heard a lot.
It was a little noisier than that one.
Yeah,
was a little noisier
your voice
than
sounded so steady.
Yeah, I heard a lot of like your a little vibration in your voice too as you were going over some rough spots. It was pretty interesting to listen.
Oh yeah.
Listen to, but no, I think the Ingress lady talked over your very beginning that probably when you were explaining you were on the bike.
Oh, okay. You know. The Ingress lady? Oh, the runkeeper.
No, the Ingress lady. I was listening in the car.
Oh, Ingress lady. Okay.
Yeah, and Ingress was telling me I was getting XP. I was going through and collecting XP, and she was telling me my levels when you're started, so I missed the very beginning.
Okay, but continuing on the mountain biking theme, though, I mean, that was all good mountain biking this week. Things got worse after we talked on the show last Saturday to the point where a good part of the town, after the Single Speed USA event last weekend, were like, goodbye, good riddance, don't let the screen door hit you on the way out of town, you... it was nasty.
Did they live up to their reputation?
I'm sorry?
We've got a delay. Did they live up to their reputation? Yes.
Oh, yes.
It seems they do. From the way you were talking, that you do that on purpose.
Yeah, we got a nasty delay here, Barty. Yeah, they do. They come in advertising that we come in the party... We ride hard, we trash the town before we leave because we know we're not getting invited back. And they sure... I personally would like to see some changes in the management of the club after this one because they're lucky they haven't been sued yet, and doesn't mean they're not still going to get sued out of this last weekend. You know, that stuff sometimes takes a while. Uh-huh. But there were fights in the street. There were like cage match fights in the street. Bicyclists were climbing up into the roofs of surrounding hotels to watch so they could get a better view. They were setting up mash pits in the bars, what really tarked off a lot of the locals, including myself, because last year I talked about the barn raising, where the whole town and community and people from all over the country came in to help build the playground for the kids. Mm-hmm. These assholes were riding up and down the playground equipping their mountain bikes.
Jeez. Oh, And
sheriff's police were called in. The state police were called in. It's ugly. I mean, I'd say really, and it's too bad because it's about a 50-50 mix. There's about a 50% of them are serious racing mountain bikers who are just as straight laced, good, good all around people as you would expect, and the other half are here to raise hell.
Yeah.
And where the change in the club management needs to happen is that we tried to warn them for weeks and due diligence was not done. So, okay, I'll get off of that. But, yeah, there were people camping in town, on the sides of the street, setting campfires in the ditches. The town was just overrun.
Wow.
It was a very, very dark day for mountain bikers because that is not your typical mountain biker.
Hmm.
We just really brought in the worst of the worst from around the country for the weekend. Yeah. So, let's see here. This is Late Night QRM. They got my Fuck Off Friday award for the week on Twitter.
All right. And they're not welcome back, right?
No, they are not welcome back. As a matter of fact, a number of the businesses in town said if we ever hear of a group like this coming in again, we will shut the business down for the duration of their stay.
Good.
That's flat out good. Will shut down.
Yeah, I agree with Barry. Good.
Who planned that? I mean, who organized it that they were coming up there?
The board of the Copper Harbors Trails Club, a couple people in particular who were warned.
Uh-huh.
They apparently did not do the due diligence, like the simple thing of calling up the Chamber of Commerce of past cities and saying, what happened? It doesn't take long to find that out.
Okay.
So yes, there's a significant call for the resignation or firing of the executive director of this club, who is not from this area. I don't know how this all happened. Huh. And a number of the club members have realized, oh crap, despite the fact that there's liability insurance, board of director members can get sued. Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah, you can.
Yeah, I would make it very...
dawn on these people, the type of liability is to close the clubs.
Yes, I would make it very clear to that group that that shall not happen again.
I'm surprised that they haven't already been sued by other communities for the same type of activities.
Well, sponsoring groups may have been sued. This is an unofficially sanctioned, or this is not it's not an officially sanctioned event. So I don't know if the event itself has any organization. They always get somebody to take it up for them.
Okay. Yeah, that's
anyhow. Enough of that. Yeah. It was a very dark day, and hopefully people learn lessons from it.
Right. Exactly. So exactly, who is 407 ETR? Is that a Ingress person?
No, it's the toll road between Toronto and Hamilton.
Oh, Barry, you're so addicted to Ingress, aren't you? Everything has to be an Ingress reference.
I've never heard of a road called 407 ETR, frankly.
That's the one I told you about.
Yeah, it's the
tolls. They take a picture of your plate and mail it to you.
That's a 407. I don't know what ETR stands for.
Electronic Toll Road.
Oh, Electronic Toll Road. Okay. Well, we don't call them that here.
In the Seattle area as well.
So, anyhow, yes, they did finally track down the car rental company that I rented the car from. And I'm the one that had to remind them, because I walked into the office. Again, this is the UP. And I walked in and I said, you know, first of all, guys, you didn't send me a bill for the last repair job you did on my Jeep. Oh, we didn't? No. Oh, is it fixed yet? I said, no, it's still broke. Okay, well, then we're not going to send you a bill yet. But I said, that was item one. I said, item two, if you haven't gotten it yet, you're probably getting a bill from an electronic toll road in Canada, because I couldn't find anywhere online to pay the bill. And he goes, oh, yeah, I got that bill sitting at home. I was wondering what the hell that was about. I said, well, bring it in. I'll pay it. I don't think I'm going to have too big of an administrative fee on it. But
No, you don't have to worry about that.
I think the toll between Toronto and Hamilton is like $11 Canadian. But then there's a video processing fee. I don't know what that is. But
really?
Whatever.
You know, it's like $14.
If I had any idea, I would have taken a different route. But yeah, I just saw it was a toll road. I didn't know there were no booths. Otherwise, I would not have taken that route. Okay. But at that point, you know, I just, screw it. I'm tired. I've been driving for 2 days. I'll take the fastest way down to Hamilton. So that's how that happened. But yes, they did eventually find it. Or they didn't find me indirectly. They did find the car rental company in Michigan that rented me the car.
Okay.
That's funny, because Hamilton's like about 4.5 hours away from me.
Well, I don't think Google's has us going on the 407.
They had it as an option.
Okay. No, it's north south.
Right. Did it also
listen? You'd be going east west.
The parallel road.
Sorry.
No, my bad. Yeah, it actually did list it as one of the ways we could go when we go over to Hamilton and then down your way. Or it said use parallel road that's not a toll road.
Okay.
So it gave us the option.
Yeah. Right. And it's a good road. And it's a good. The parallel road is good. It just gets you right through there, through the London area.
Because if it's going to be like $25 one way, that's an expensive toll.
No, yeah, it's like Joel said. You know, it's a $7 toll with a $14 recording fee.
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly.
But no, it's the main road going north south. You're not going north south. You're going east west through there.
Okay. Yes, we are. I think we go through we go through London and kind of roundabout or up on the north side of Detroit or something like that. So
Detroit got a hell of a hockey team. You're not going anywhere near Detroit.
No, no.
They go just. No, they go just north of it, Marty.
Yeah,
because they're coming in through Port Huron.
Yeah. Oh, Port Huron. Okay.
Yeah, so I think we'll be a safe distance away from the bad section of Detroit. Well, then again, I don't know. I don't know what Detroit looks like.
Bad section.
You'll be quite a bit north, but you're going just north of Detroit.
I don't know. You listen to Anthony, and he says not all of Detroit's bad. There's just one section of Detroit that's bad. He thinks Detroit's getting bad.
That's in the city limits.
You both talked over each other, so I didn't hear either one of you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There's a wicked delay with Mike.
Yeah, there are good. Yeah, there's good parts of Detroit, and there's many bad parts of Detroit. I have spent much time there, and I intend to spend no more time there.
And you spend any time there,
it requires me to be there again. No, God, no.
Yeah, because it's a whole different story these days.
Yeah, well, we'll have to we'll chat about that offline.
Yeah,
trip going there. So, so let's continue down. Yes, speaking of the Daily Tech News, I did hear last Wednesday's episode.
That was cool.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It was pretty cool. So, for those that don't know, Adam Curry was the guest host or guest on Tom Merritt's Tech News Today and Daily Tech Show News Show, and sorry, I named the wrong show, but he was good on there, and he didn't get too crazy on it.
But he didn't. You know, it actually. But he tried, yeah. But you know, he and if you listen to the after effect, Adam Curry had all kinds of troubles with Hangouts. It took him an hour to resolve the Hangout issues before he could join the show. But it was Tom Merritt, and Tom Merritt's been really good about. He does Tech History Today. It's another one of his podcasts. If you don't listen to it, I highly recommend it. It's just like a 2 or 3 minute podcast every day. But Tom Merritt's the one that called Adam Curry up to remind him that last Wednesday was the 10-year anniversary of the first Daily Source Code episode.
Wow.
So that's why he had him on as the guest host. And that was kind of cool.
Yeah, definitely. I got to write that down. Tech History Today, you said?
Tech History Today, I believe. Let me... And Tom's actually, if he hasn't, I think he's getting ready to release a book about that.
Oh, cool.
Basically, today in history type thing. But Let me check my calendar real quick and make sure I gave you the right name. But I mean, if you look up Tom Merritt, you should be able to find it. Where is it? Where is it? Oh, it's going to be in the playlist now. I'm still using Downcast.
I'm still using
Airtime. Sorry.
What's it called?
Today in Tech History. It's Today in Tech History.
Oh, jeez. Today in Tech History. Okay, write that down.
But if you look up Tom Merritt, then you'll see all the shows he's on.
I like short ones.
I haven't listened to him since he left the Twit Network.
Yeah, well, if anything,
he's gotten better.
Yeah.
He's gotten better.
Well, you know, to be honest, I didn't really listen to him a whole lot when he was still on Twit, that Tech News Today thing. I never really got much into that show.
I listen to it every day. That's where I get
I don't even listen to Twit every week like I used to. His shows has gotten so long that there are too many other podcasts I want to hear that I just can't deal with a 2.5 hour podcast anymore. I have a 1 hour one hour commute either way, and I'm trying to put in as many podcasts as I can because that's about the only time I really have to listen to podcasts is when I'm going to and from work.
Uh-huh.
You know, so even our show I listen to the episodes I'm not on when I'm at home, mainly when I'm prepping for an upcoming show. Uh-huh. I want to hear what happened at the last show. You know, since I probably wasn't on it since I'm only on once in a great while these days. But, you know, as far as Twit, I mean, geez, Leo just goes on and on and on about things. And, you know, he used to be more to the point, but now he just kind of like rambles on and stuff. And it's like, yeah, okay, there's no real value added just to making the show longer. And it's the same way with Daily Source Code, but
No Agenda.
Yeah, No Agenda. I mean, they just drag things out, you know, and all this stuff about people being knights and all that kind of crap. And it's like, you know, I don't have time for, a 3 hour show listening to people who have given you money. You know, you can cut that down to a 30 minute show and, hey, I'll listen to that every day. But, you know,
I agree.
I'm not anymore either.
They've settled on 2.5 hours for that show and twice a week. And it's getting a little long for me. I'm about ready to shut it off.
Well, I pretty much already have. The only time I listen to it is if I'm on a long airplane flight, I'll listen to it while I'm flying somewhere because I've got like 5 hours to go.
Yeah, you got time to kill.
Yeah, well, yeah, but the only thing is now I've run into Marshall McLuhan and a lot of these other Canadian podcasts that I'm more interested in listening to that than I am No Agenda.
Yeah.
They're much more entertaining.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. I've been, you know, I've been skipping through No Agendas a bit these days because I want to listen to the Marshall McLuhan and, you know, Slug is Doug and
And the vinyl countdown has nothing to do with either vinyl or a countdown. But that show just cracks me up.
And even
brings me back to when I was like about 20 years old.
MMD's podcast. I've been listening to that. Which I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head because it's a funky.
I can't believe how many podcasts Anthony Marco puts out.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, my God, that guy has got like, what, about 6 or 7 different shows?
Yeah, I think he stops for lunch. That's it.
Stop for lunch. I think he just kind of eats lunch on the way from one to the next. But I tell you, they're all awesome shows. That Soul Prerogative. I'll tell you, I'm so getting into that, and it cracks me up because this is like old music that I remember listening to years ago, and there are times when he's into a long song, and I keep expecting to hear the song slowly fade out as the 8-track gets ready to switch to the next track. You know, and like, whoever thought that was a good idea, right? You know, but his show just sounds around that time period. I mean, he just does it so well.
Now he plays,
it doesn't sound like a show that was done just a few days ago. It sounds like one that, you know, back from the 70s. You know, he's like channeling Don Cornelius, you know?
I have to subscribe to that one. I haven't listened to that one yet. You guys have talked about it a couple times, and I didn't know about it.
It depends on how you like soul music, you know?
Oh, I like
the
it.
Stuff
yeah.
like they used to play on Soul Train and stuff.
It's good.
Oh, those kind of tunes are really, really cool. Yeah. You kind of took them for granted back in the day, but now you don't hear them anymore.
Yeah.
When you hear somebody put them out in a podcast, it's like, hey, I remember this stuff. This was kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah, and he plays a full album. He does the history behind it, he gives the history on the group, and then he'll pick an album and play the album.
Really?
On the show.
How does he get away with that?
That's Canada, but,
I guess,
and it's probably it's probably the four of us listening to it. So,
yeah.
But it hasn't caught nobody's caught it yet. But just before we forget, you know, I'm done with this podcast. Is MMD?
That's it. Yeah, and, I'm done with this podcast.
Yeah, in case it gets talked over, we all listened up in this brain.
Oh yes,
and,
yes, definitely.
I go on stages with each of them because I'm traveling so much. I'll catch up on like 4 episodes at a time with each of my favorite podcasters.
See, I've got,
sometimes I get a couple episodes behind.
I got my playlist and I listen to them chronologically. So when they come in, boom, boom, boom. You know, I just listen to them. And of course, Dixon James. There were several this week because he was had his girls from Japan over.
Right.
And
the prep for that was just driving him nuts.
Listening on and on
about how he was trying to make sure all this was going to work out. Yeah. It just kind of cracked me up. I like listening to him. He's just so cool.
Yeah, but he had time. Well, he took breaks. I mean, of course, his show, you know, of course, he does these little 10, 15-minute ones, and then he puts them all together with music in between to make an hour-long show.
Yeah, but out of Bluffer Park.
Yeah, so I was listening to that. That was interesting this week. A couple of his came in, one right after the other, so there wasn't anything in between them. He was putting them out, bang, 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 you know?
Well, there are a number of podcasts that are hitting the dog days of August. Mm-hmm. They're calling them the dog cast of August or something like that.
I don't know.
So they're trying to put out a podcast every single day through the worst part of August.
Oh, really? I haven't heard about that. Not me. I'm lucky if I get it out. No, we're just lucky this one got out before the last one got out before this one was recorded. So, anyway, all right. Let's see. I want to mix it up a little bit. Joel, you've been quiet.
Wake up, Joe.
Were you?
Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
You were saying,
what's going on? You were saying
were you working on Wilson before this?
Oh yeah. Well, I was. That's what I was running along.
You have to put the song in for that segment.
Oh, bottom gear.
And welcome to another late night QRM edition of Bottom Gear. I'm one of your hosts, Joel. Tonight, I'm going to tell you a real boring story about putting on front brakes.
Before you start, real quick, playing that song, even though it was under 30 seconds, probably got us banned from YouTube. So I'm just
saying. Oh, man.
I watch, and I'll say it, I watch Top Gear on YouTube regularly.
Well, that's probably YouTube or Top Gear putting it on YouTube.
Nope. Independent people.
Okay. We'll see what happens.
Exactly. So I was I texted you guys to let you know that I was going to possibly be a little bit late for the show because I was cleaning up. Because wanted to wait past the hot time of the day to undertake what could go really, really smooth or really, really long and lousy. A job of putting on front brake pads on Wilson, the 94 Olt. So earlier this week, as I was driving around, you got to that point where I was coming, heading towards work, and you hear that So the squealers are starting to rumble on the rotors, and I'm like, I guess I'm getting low on the old brake pads. And that started, I think, Monday. By Friday, it was maddening.
Well, they didn't take long, did they?
No, they did not. They were. I can certainly tell they were not the five-star premium brake pads that were on the car. because due to the fact of how quickly they just went from occasional to that you put your foot on the brakes and then it would stop. You know, stop the noise. Mm-hmm. So I picked up pads for it, and I thought, well, I'll do it. You know, sometime throughout the course of the week, once I got out of work, I'd come home and put them on. I had an absolute hell week. I mean, hell week. All last week, and even the latter half of the week before that, it's been my earliest day was 7 o'clock getting out of work on a 14-hour day, and that was in the last week and a half. So, needless to say, I did not put brakes on the car. I'm like, screw it, I don't care. I'm too tired. By Friday, I was burnt. And so today, I'm like, okay. And my son was here, and I said, you know what? Have I ever taught you how to put brake pads on a car? And he went, no. I said, time to put on your thinking cap because we're going outside to do it. And he's very mechanically inclined. It's just a bigger than what he's, what I've exposed him to already job. Uh-huh. And took to it like a fish to water. Really did. It was, I showed him on doing the driver's side and how to jack the car off, start the air compressor, get the lug nut gun, take that all off. From soup to nuts, and not one bolt was seized, one bolt broke, not one bolt rounded off. Everything came off smooth as silk. Everything went back on smooth as silk.
Wow!
So it was actually that's one thing I can say about my 1994 Oldsmobile. That car has never given me a hard time yet about any kind of repair. In other words, with bolts seized up or breaking or sharing or weirdness. You know, the things that usually happen. So it's we did that, put the brakes on, got them done, and before the show started, I was back up and in the house and went to get cleaned up, and then that's when I started hearing the texts on my phone, bling, bling, bling. Well, you guys wouldn't shut up and leave me alone. I'm like, all right, fine, I'll come over here and do the show. I wanted to jump in the shower, but...
Phew, we can smell you all when you first got on.
My hands are coated, still have grease, a nice fine layer of grease across the tops of them, but it was a good job, and that realistically is the entire offering I have for our Bottom Gear segment. Aside from that, I've been working too much, and the car hasn't given me any issues.
Nice.
It's always good. I mean, it was $600 well spent.
Yes, Yeah, that's true.
A year ago, that's right, because I had my 1 year anniversary with that car. What was it, the week before last?
Yep.
$600.
Yep. Not bad at all. I've still got to get mine in for the oil change. That's and I believe my tires need air. So.
So put some in.
I will. I do.
He does.
I do.
I say we change the oil.
Yeah, we could do that. We could do that.
Yeah, that's too much like work. That Prius is low to the ground.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can't get underneath it. You'd have to jack it up or put jack stands.
I had no intention of trying to suck in my breath and squeeze between the bottom of that car and the top driveway.
I don't even think those as hard as you could suck would make a difference. With your,
I couldn't get my leg under that car.
Plus, there's high voltage wires under there, too.
So. Because the batteries.
Yeah.
But they're nowhere near the, where you got to go to change the oil.
Yeah, I don't know where they are. I've never been under it. I've never even looked under it. Matter of fact, if I pop the hood on the front of the car, I'm lucky I'd recognize it. I don't even know where the oil change is on there, because, when the maintenance light goes on, I get the oil changed.
Right.
And it doesn't leak oil, so...
You wait for a light to come on?
Yeah, my maintenance light comes on, tells me it's time to change my oil. it's got a maintenance light. When they change the oil, they set it for the next time, and when it pops on, it means...
Yeah, my Jeep has that too, but I don't wait for that to come on. I wait for, a certain number of miles, and if I've been driving miles, then I change it sooner.
But that's what it does, and actually, because the Prius engine doesn't run as often as normal cars' engines, it could actually go longer than what they put it in, because they put in for a normal car. Well, I could go probably 3,000 more miles than what they put in, but it's all right, because I usually don't get it to them until 3,000 miles past the maintenance light going on. So, yeah, but I do want to, I need to get it checked out. I got to make sure everything's good. Not only that, but I got to get the tires rotated. And, of course, I could do that, too. I know.
I was going to say, don't you have a jack and some jack stands?
I do.
I mean, you got an air compressor. I mean, it doesn't take much to get a wrench to be able to take the lug nuts off.
I have a lug nut wrench, or whichamacallit, too.
An impact gun.
Impact gun, that's it.
What are you doing?
I'm mechanically inclined.
Boy, that's a really nice looking tool.
I used to use it when I had my truck. I used to do a lot more stuff on my truck because I could actually crawl under my truck. And and I used to do all my own oil changes and stuff like that. But with the Prius, I submitted.
I don't blame you.
And I go to the...
Get a little toy car like that and, you want someone else to take care of it.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that was a double sided statement.
Oh wait a minute, I do have... Oh wait a minute, it's worthy of playing the theme again. Here we go. I have a Bottom Gear story. This is not your normal host, Barry J, with a Bottom Gear story. This week, actually it was last Sunday, after the show, I changed the cabin air filter.
Wow!
While you're lonesome, huh?
It took me all of 3 minutes. It was easy. You just pulled down the glove compartment door. You press in slightly to take the latches, the little indentations that hold it in place. You move it across there. Then there's a little hydraulic bar that you pop off on one side, and then you can take the whole thing out. And then there's two white latches that you push in and pull the old filter out. You pull the container for the filter, you pull the filter out, you put the new one in, you click it back in place, and then you put the door back on, and it's all done.
Wow. Sweet. I'm impressed.
Normally, Toyota was charging you how much to do that?
$90.
Damn!
$90, which took you 5 minutes.
Less than 5 minutes. And the filter was $5.95.
Well, I guess a lot of that was because somebody had to actually sit in a Prius to do it.
No, you don't even have to sit in it. You just get on the passenger side and stand there. It's really easy.
Just kind of lean in the door, huh?
Yep, that's Marty, all you Marty, do.
Hey, Marty, am I detecting a common theme here? You're not a big Prius fan?
No, I think Prius are really fine if you live in the city, but some places, I'm surprised Barry gets away with it where he lives, because he gets a pretty good amount of snow.
I get 4 weeks of vacation.
A car that is smaller than the snowbanks around it that doesn't really survive here. You nearly need something with some ground clearance if you're planning on getting anywhere in the winter.
I got 4 weeks of vacation, and they take care of the roads quite well here.
Yeah, well,
that's how I do it. If it's snowing,
they take care of the road here in Redfield. But once I'm out of town, there are a lot of mornings where I'm heading to work and the road hasn't been touched yet. And there's 6 inches to a foot. So a Prius would hit the first thing and then just kind of stop.
I have never had a problem with the Prius on the roads except when it's actually snowing and I'm supposed to be driving it. And I try to avoid those situations, although it does cost me vacation time. To do that, especially last year, because it seemed like every time it frickin' snowed, it was during one of the commute times. So,
yeah, ain't that a bitch?
Yeah. I think my Prius days are numbered anyway, because I think the next vehicle I get is going to be a RAV4 if I get one.
Yeah, you've talked about those before, and they do sound pretty nice.
Yeah. So
I don't have nothing against the Prius. It's just not practical up here.
No, where you are with the lake
effect. With one either where he lives.
With the lake effect.
More snow than we do. I mean, we average 300 something inches of snow a year.
Yeah.
Pretty much the highest snowfall outside of the Rockies.
With the lake effect snow, you couldn't do it.
Yes. No. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So the town of Redfield does a really good job, but the surrounding towns, some of them, you can't depend on them, especially if school is closed or delayed. Yeah, you better have a good four-wheel drive with some high ground clearance or you're not going anywhere.
Yeah. I got to say one thing about the towns around here is because every town does their own snow clearing and then the state only handles the major routes. You give them an hour after it stops snowing and everything's cleared. I mean, I don't have any issues with the Prius an hour after it stops snowing.
But you also have much higher population amount,
right?
High density than what we have here. You know, Redfield is a town of 500 people.
Yeah,
the towns around us are about 500, 600, 700. Right. You know, they're a little bit bigger than us, but not much.
If I lived in Redfield, I wouldn't have a Prius.
Miles. Pardon?
I said if I lived in Redfield, I wouldn't have a Prius. I can guarantee it.
That's the biggest reason we got rid of our Miata, is because you couldn't drive it in the winter.
I mean, when I lived in Front Royal, which is still a bigger town than Redfield, out in Virginia, I lasted one winter with my station wagon, and that's when I got my truck. And it was a four-wheel drive truck because it was and Virginia doesn't have nearly the winters we have up here.
I was going to say.
But they don't handle the snow. Virginia? Yeah, but we had snow one time. We got 30 inches of snow, okay? That's a lot down there. And they didn't freaking have the roads cleared it took them a week and a half to clear the roads.
Yeah, because they don't have the equipment for it.
Yeah, so
why would you if it only happens once every 10 years?
Yeah, and you can't blame them, but if it snows like that, you're stuck at home. Yeah, yeah. So, and not many people have snowblowers or things like that to help them out because why go to the expense of buying a snowblower when it only happens once or twice a year, if that.
Yeah. Yeah, up here, you need a snowblower that's mounted on a tractor.
Yep, know that. Got that here, too. So, Michael, Anthony's staying at the hotel you stayed at?
Yep. So, for those who have been following Anthony's podcast, including Love Hate Things, he did a series of On the Road to PM14, the podcasters meetup. That's not what they called it, is it? Anyhow, the podcasting meeting in Dallas. He's talking about this hotel he's staying at, and it sounds more and more familiar. And then he shows a picture of the mall next door, and now this really looks familiar. And I don't know if it was Foursquare or Facebook, but he checked in at the hotel online today, and Oh, geez, I used to stay there all the time, so I know exactly where he's at. Mm-hmm. I had a company, I used to work for a company that we had an office in Dallas, and we tested software there all the time. And I was literally down there once a month for years. So I'm very familiar with the area and the traffic that ensues on LBJ.
Well, yeah, it's terrible. I don't think he sounded like he was going to be budging much from the hotel.
No, yeah, especially at the temperatures there. I mean, they went from Hamilton to, you know.
That's right.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah. It's hot as hell down there. It gets over 100.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, he's down there with Shane Burley and Mike Barty, and it sounds like they're having a good time. And in honor of that, I know this isn't coming out, but I did make a point of mentioning it on the Twitters today myself. Boss Jack is offering the app at half price this weekend in honor of PM14.
Oh, really? Nice.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Nice.
So a number of them jumped online to tell people, hey, this was worth full price, and it's definitely worth half price.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get out there and get it.
I think I got, when I bought it, it was one of those half price deals too, a long time ago when they first came out. Because,
yep.
Yeah, I have it, so I don't need to go for the half price. It is a neat tool. The only thing, and it sounds like all those guys that use it all the time have a problem with it, and even when I play around with it that much, you know, there's the press the talk button. You know, and then when you stop pressing it, it stops, obviously it's still recording, but it's not recording you because the mic's off. And they do have a mic lock, but it seems like a lot of people forget to press the mic lock button when they record, because I hear them all say, oh yeah, I just went through this whole thing and then it wasn't recording.
Right.
So it's just a little bit to be careful with. But I think that's what we're going to use on the trip.
Uh-huh.
Connected into my iPhone. And we'll have a live mic or something in the car with us. So we'll have... we'll do a bunch of mini podcasts.
It'll be interesting, to say the least.
Yeah.
Take heed of Mike's experience and make sure you verify your plan 100% before you leave.
Yeah. Well, I have to.
No, I mean your Verizon plan or whatever you're on.
Oh, yes. I was looking into that, but I may not. I may opt to turn data off as we're going through Canada.
Because, oh, okay. That's smart.
Yeah. Because I, you know, don't. And Joel, here we're talking a little inside for the trip, but you have a GPS, don't you? A regular GPS.
Yeah, Garmin.
Yeah, okay. Because I have an old Garmin. I think you have a newer Garmin.
Mine's old. Mine's a Garmin Nuvi 205. It's from 2010.
Yeah, no, that's newer than mine.
You said you had the lifetime updates, didn't you, Joel?
How's that?
You said you had the lifetime updates for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, yours is newer than mine, and I don't have the lifetime update. So I was thinking maybe if you bring that along, we don't have to worry about, you know, data plans going through.
I agree 100%. As a matter of fact, I also are a firm believer, because I don't trust electronics that much, especially when it's, you know, peace of mind, I bring a friggin' map. And then that way,
when the battery, a hunk of paper with you?
Yes, I do. And that way, when the batteries go dead and the lights go off, I can still find out where the hell I'm going.
Well, that's fine. We can have if you got maps or not. Actually, I belong to AAA, so I can pick maps up.
Yes, you can. So do I.
Yeah. So
they'll actually map it out and put it on a route trip for us in the whole nine yards.
Well, they still do that?
Yes, I do.
Oh, we should do that just as the backup plan, since we do actually have a navigator. I find that tough to do when I'm the driver and trying to follow a map at the same time. But if you got two people in the car, one can be the navigator. It's always good.
Oh, yeah. It's way more better.
Yeah, and that way we don't end up in, you know, one of the Great Lakes. Literally.
I mean, I like swimming and all, but not that time of year in a lake.
So.
Or end up seeing signs that say, welcome to Chicago, when you know you're heading the wrong way.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, The good thing, though, about using the electronic one and Google Maps, because I was using it yesterday, it told me exactly, because now it's using Waze information. Not their routing. They still have the good Google Maps routing, but they're using the Waze information from people punching in things on the road, events on the road and stuff like that. So the Google Maps get updated a lot faster with quite current information, which is nice. But yeah, I'm not paying the freaking data prices, because
well, I'll tell you ridiculous. One thing, even though they have Waze integration, mm-hmm. you can't trust it 100%, because when I was in Seattle this past weekend driving around, I spent a number of hours in Seattle, and I figured, well, since Redmond is so close, I'll just drive out to one Microsoft Way uh-huh. and take some pictures and, you know, see whatever there is to see there before I head back to the hotel, because, you know, like I said, it was, you know, it's a short drive away from Seattle.
Yep.
Well, The main bridge between Seattle and Redmond was shut down for the weekend for maintenance. All over Waze, they were talking about it. They had known it for days. It had been announced a week in advance. I could not, for the life of me, get Google to plan a different route. No matter which way I went, I would turn it off, drive a bunch of miles south, hit towards the next bridge, and it continually tried to send me back to that bridge. And it was to the point that I got so frustrated, I figured, screw it. I'm just going to go back to the hotel and just say the hell with it. Mm-hmm. You know, and that was why I was I was so late to last week's show, is because I was continually trying to get Google to route either north or south, because there's three bridges, one to the north, the main one that goes that was closed, and then there was one southern one, and I was trying to get it to go across the southern one because it was less out of the way than the northern one. Uh-huh. And it just, for the light, I was like right close to the freaking bridge, and it still didn't want to go that way. So after a while, I figured, screw it. I'm wasting way too much time doing this. It's not that important. So I just, you know, figured, screw it. I wanted to get back and, you know, hopefully catch the show. And you saw how late I ended up. But, yeah, so you have to take that Waze tie-in with a grain of salt, because, yeah, sometimes it works well, but other times it does not work so well at all.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Well, this is the first time I've used Google Maps and just saw that it was using Waze information.
So. I love Google Maps. I was so sad when it left iOS, and I was so happy when it came back.
Yep.
And, you know, I've stated that plenty of times on this show. I love Google Maps.
Yeah. Yep. So anyway, let's see. God, there was something else, and I forget what it was now. Oh, well. Oh, I know. I had a... now I'm going to doubly guess. I do have a... I have an entertainment last month story. Hello and welcome, everybody, to Entertainment Last Month, or last year, or last decade. Depends on what you're talking about. But I have discovered, thanks to my lovely bride, who is now stuck with listening or watching the channel Eggcorn on the Roku box, which shows nothing but British shows, she has me hooked on Doc Martin.
Yep.
And I'm still in the first season, but there's sixth season, and the show is still going on. There's a seventh and final season coming on next month, or next year. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then they'll be closing it down. But I absolutely love this show. It's about a former surgeon who moves to... takes a job as a GP in this little town on the southeast coast of England, fishing town, and, you know, all the quirky people that live there, and all the, you know, it's just a really fun show to watch. And the reason he quit being a surgeon is because he started getting sick at the sight of blood, which I thought was kind of quirky in itself. And he was an arterial surgeon. But they explain it. But it is a quirky show. It's fun to watch. I just like all the interaction between the different characters. And just seeing... I mean, it's a real town. They film it in a real town. And it's one of these towns that have been around forever. And all the houses and buildings are still being used, you know, from back then and stuff. And I'm just loving it. I really love that show. So I highly recommend it. And by the way, if you use Apple TV, behold, Acorn is not on there. But there is the Acorn app for the iPhone and the iPad. And what I do is I AirPlay it to the Apple TV. So, and it works out great. Just fine doing it that way. You wouldn't even know that you were playing it on your iPad or iPhone. So, highly recommend Doc Martin.
Great. That sounds cool.
Yeah.
Do you get it in high def?
Yeah. Well, I want to say, I don't know whether it's high def because the show's older than that.
I've watched it in high def. I've been watching it for over a year.
It might be in high def, but I'm in season one, and I don't know whether they had high definition.
Oh, it came. Now I think about it, you're right. Yeah. It went into high def middle of season two.
Okay, yeah. So because I'm thinking
the Apes movies in high def.
Yeah, they did, but you know, again, they only usually have the. Whatever the BBC put out on TV, and a lot of times the BBC wouldn't do it in high def if they weren't going to show it in high def.
Yeah.
So, but yes, it's a great show. I highly recommend it. And Doctor Who's starting soon. Was it August
26th? 26th. I might be wrong.
No, August. Well, I don't know. I'm gonna have to look it up now. You're right. August 23rd is a Sunday.
Either way, I really enjoy British television.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's way
I really
better
like than watching
ours.
It.
Way better than ours. I'm gonna check out some of the other shows on Acorn too because it's just they are great, great shows. So anyway, so that was my topic. Michael, you had one more story about the hotel story from your last trip.
Oh. Yeah, I don't remember talking about it last week, but did I tell you about I had one night out of the company I work for, my client down there normally provides housing while I'm there, mm-hmm. and there was a conflict one night, and at the last minute I needed to find a hotel room in the city there, and I'm like, oh, this is great, and one of the people, booking.com, something I haven't used before. Normally I use hotels.com or I go online directly. But there was this hotel. I'll be nice and not name the name of it, but it is a nationwide chain. And it was only about 10 minutes down the road from where I was working. And the rate wasn't too bad. And I thought, okay, you know, I'm not all that picky as long as it's relatively clean. You know, I'm okay with it. So drive down to this particular neighborhood and walk in the front door, and clerk is really, really, I mean, the people there were really nice, really helpful, and they give me my room key, and I go down, and they go down the end of this hallway, and the first thing, normally, you know, hotels, you've got other doors to get into the hotel except the front door, and uh-huh. you just have to use your pass key. Not this hotel. They're all barred.
Really?
That's not a good sign. I mean, there's a fire exit latch that you can hit, but there's no way you're getting in that hotel other than the front door.
Wow.
Or, I'll explain it as I walk in, but I get to the end of this hallway, I open up the door, and the first thing I'm hit with is this oppressive heat with this smell of mildew and humidity. And it's a ground floor room, and I start walking into the room, and the carpet's crunching.
Ooh.
I turn the lights up as high as they'll go, which is not very high. And as I walk by the bed, I see these huge stains on the bedspread.
Ugh.
Like somebody, you know, dumped coffee or something on the bedspread, and they couldn't get it out, or what else? I don't want to. What else it could be. And I get over to the window, and I try to turn the air conditioner on. The air conditioner's not working. And I noticed the window has been pried open several times before from the outside. I just kind of took a look around. I said, nah, this isn't going to work. So I picked up all my luggage and went back up to the front desk, and I basically asked, without saying it outright, but I asked if I could have a room that wasn't rented out by the hour. and the fact that the air conditioning didn't work, there was no way I was going to get any sleep. And I said, I'd prefer the second floor. And I wasn't being nasty about it, but as I'm asking her this, this family, husband, wife, and kids come storming out of the elevator, throw their pass keys at the lady, and say, there's no way in we're staying here, and go out the front door. And I'm like, oh, this is great. I was like, I'm really, really tired. I said, you know, can you just see if you can find me a better room? And she goes, okay, you know, I'll do what I can. And she, to her benefit, you know, to her credit, she got me a halfway decent room. Still wasn't great. Uh-huh. I was shocked to find that the second floor, there's no balcony nearby. Somebody still had pried this window open from the outside.
Oh, my God.
It was a non-smoking room that reeked of cigarette smoke. But at least the carpet didn't crunch in this floor.
Gross.
I got through the night. I got back down there in the morning, and as I'm handing my key to check out, the health department showed up and said, we want a dozen rooms. We want them now. This is a surprise inspection. I was about to tell the clerk that I appreciated their help in switching rooms the night before, and I thought, I'm not even going to bring this up in front of the health inspector. I'm sure it wasn't, and everybody, you know, when I explained this at the company later that day, I said, so you turned them in, huh, Mike? I'm like, no, I didn't. Mm-hmm. I said, but I will tell you, I can count and...
No.
Oh, geez. 30 plus years on the road, I think I've only switched rooms once or twice.
Oh, jeez.
As long as I make an effort that you know, everything you're using is clean, has been sanitized, not that particular, but this, yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, you missed your opportunity.
The front desk is like, well, are you waiting for 12 rooms that have been cleaned? And they're like, no, we want 12 rooms that are not current.
You missed your opportunity.
Not, we
to
want
say,
12 rooms that are not currently occupied.
You missed your opportunity.
I'm thinking, yeah. Just go down to one.
You missed your opportunity to say, oh, and you might want to clean that blood splatter off the wall.
Yeah, really.
No, I wasn't trying to get it. They're gonna, based on what I saw, they're gonna find plenty wrong. So, but yeah, that was my hotel story. It wasn't pleasant.
Yeah, something tells me that family's the one that reported it.
Fortunately, they're able to get me in corporate housing again the next night.
Oh, good. Jeez.
It's one of those places where the health department, you want to say, how many people died here?
And this is a chain hotel. This isn't
was it the horror,
you know, some mom and pop place at the end of the I think Amityville was in. No, never mind.
Amityville.
Oh man. Oh, I hate nightmares like that.
It wasn't Worst Eastern, was it?
I know what you're talking about.
No, but
just saying.
It was one of those.
Yeah.
Blue Cellar?
No. something I would say it would be the night out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay. There's a number of those type hotels.
Yes.
Yeah,
and they have a whole collection of chains with similar names.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, but normally it's a fairly safe bet. I mean, you're not expecting a 5-star hotel, no. But normally they're
actually
decent,
no, you
deal for sleeping.
They tend to be fairly clean.
When I stayed at my last night out, that was when I was down in Morrisville, North Carolina, down at Juki School, and I have to say, you know what? Well, you just brought back all kinds of nightmares, memories I had suppressed. about the same thing.
Sorry.
So Joel's thinking, thanks, Mike. Thanks for ruining a good night's sleep. I was planning on having tonight.
No. I was
nightmares all night long about this.
I remembered that because I went to look out. This place did have a patio that overlooked a swamp green algae filled swimming pool. Yep.
It was a science experiment.
Oh yeah, boy! I forgot all about that. Thanks, Michael.
and they did fix the hood latch on the company car.
Yeah.
Oh, that's excellent. No more pop goes the weasel in the hood goes pop as you're driving 70 miles
an
hour.
I'll find out in the next trip. I'll find out.
All right. Well, I think we're running out of stories here, unless anybody else has got something. And since we've been going over 2 hours on most of these podcasts and bitching about people
with exactly what podcasts. We were bitching about earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
We should probably call this one. Musical guest tonight is insert name here again.
Man, they're awesome.
Oh, they're back.
Yeah, they're back after a couple weeks.
Tour. Back by popular demand.
And so we'll enjoy their music as soon as they get set up to play. All right, so I guess we'll call this one for 150. Again, for all the military people out there, both CONUS and OCONUS, thank you for what you do, especially you OCONUS guys that are away from your families and out on the front lines there. We thank you for what you're doing, and we hope you get back home to your families and friends real soon. Until then, we'll keep the home fires burning for you. So with that, from the Monadnock region in southwest New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
And from the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Joel.
And from the Tug Hill Plateau region of central New York, this is Barty.
And based on my show notes invitation, this is Michael, the virtual yapper.
That's right. I forgot about that. Michael didn't get the show notes because I accidentally sent it to the virtual yapper.
That explains it.
I'm surprised he didn't show up tonight. All right, thanks.
It was the show delay that kept him from showing up.
I guess, yeah. Thanks, everybody. That's it for show 150. Show 151 next week. Until then, here's insert band name here.
Tonight's musical guest is the Average White Band with Pick Up the Pieces. We'll be right back.
Samson, speak. Good boy.